meant for an adult audience. Loveline may contain sexually oriented content. Listener discretion is advised. Adam Carolla and Dr. Drew. Loveline. Coast to coast.
Hey, everybody. It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified physician, addiction medicine specialist. Angie Everhart is our guest tonight.
Good evening.
Angie, we haven't not seen since the TV show, which seems like a...
Really?
That is a long time ago.
Yeah. Angie, what did you do? Just pack yourself in a mason jar of formaldehyde and not move since then? I mean, it's been 4 years, but...
I know, we're gray and wrinkly. And
Drew's haggard. Drew looks like a coach that's about to be fired from a college program, you know? Like, you've lost 8 games in a row. You know, the tie's loose, the hair's messed up, you're drinking the ulcer medicine and pacing the sidelines.
He's shaved. You're not shaved. He looks handsome tonight.
See?
Let me tell you the whole thing about the shave thing. You chicks can't agree on whether you like a guy with a little bit of razor stubble or not. Half of you, and it's right down the middle. It's right down the middle. Half are like, ooh, you shaved, and the other half, ooh, looking rugged, like
a
lumberjack.
It depends on the amount of razor stubble, and it depends on the guy.
Right. Like,
some guys look good with, you know, a goatee.
I'm trying to tell you something, man.
And some guys look better shaved.
I understand, but look at it this way. Let's look at it this way. I would probably look worse if I shaved.
No.
Don't you think that the guys with the darker beards look better with the stubble? I mean, if you have a blonde beard
and you got
the blonde beard, you go with the stubble, it defeats the purpose.
Yeah, but the blonde hair and the dark stubble.
Whatever.
That's a cartoon, Drew. Nobody has that, you idiot. Angie has a nice big spread in FHM magazine, which is September's issue, which is, I'm guessing, if it's not out,
it's out.
It better be out.
Yeah. Oh, it's out right now.
Yeah, it's out because I've seen it. That's how I know it's out. Yeah, and Angie, there's a few things I was looking at with Angie over here. Of course, I remember you were engaged to Sly Stallone, and here's another thing. It says, broke her back when she was 19 years old.
We had this discussion last time, didn't we?
I'm guessing, but, you know, 4 years. I've smoked a lot of pot between then.
I've had back surgery since then.
You have?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it worked?
It totally did. I had L5-S1, a partial discectomy.
Oh, boy.
And everybody told me, you don't do the surgery, but I did the surgery, and because I couldn't even move my foot.
Mm. If you have motor loss, that's time for surgery.
And I did.
As a hot chick, you always run the extra risk of being felt up when you're under, too, which is something the guys don't have. But it's not many doctors.
It's not something
in
I would really think about.
I guarantee it. It's happened. It's happened. You know, once in a while.
Yeah, I had surgery. I came out pregnant.
Doctors usually use condoms, true, but
terrible.
It happens. Okay, it's rampant. These guys know they'll never get another shot. And Drew, you've done this, surely.
Yeah, many times.
Thank you. Well, I'm just saying it goes on. And, you know, we talk about real topics here on the show. Also, Angie was telling us before we went on the air that she was going to be set on fire as part of this new Fox celebrity stunt show.
September 6th, I'm getting set on fire the day before my birthday.
What's the show called?
Celebrity Stunts on Fox.
There you go.
It's airing. It's a new show that's airing, I think it's the 27th of September.
And Drew, they actually approached Drew with a stunt that was a little too hairy for Drew. It was a personalized stunt. They wanted
Make me entertaining?
No. Well, that was one of the ideas they kicked around and decided they just didn't have enough coordinators and riders to really pull that one off. The budget wasn't. No. They wanted Drew to pick up a check at dinner, and I believe Drew's management got involved with that one. You'd have to know Drew to really get a good laugh out of that one.
But, are you cheap?
Yeah, he's cheap. He's cheap.
You are?
Oh, Angie likes Drew. I can't stand this. How dare you like Drew? You like Drew, right?
I like you, too.
Oh, did you see that?
You're funny.
No. It's all over now. And what kind of guy do you like?
You think I like him because I asked him if he was cheap?
There was a please don't be cheap in that. Is he cheap? Oh, look. Hold on. Now Drew goes for the power move by pulling out the pager and flopping it down to take a look at it. Drew, don't think I see through that. Please. Oh, Angie, wait a minute. Well, let's get back to you lighting yourself on fire.
Yes. Well, I'm not going to light myself on fire.
Someone will do it for
light
you.
Light me up. And then I'm going to jump off it. Look, I think it's going to be the Santa Monica Pier into the water.
Oh, really?
Really?
Which scares me.
The end of the pier?
Yeah, the end of the pier.
On fire.
On fire.
Now,
do you get a practice jump? Are they going to train you?
They're going to train me in a pool, jumping off the pool and setting on different parts of my body on fire. And if I get uncomfortable with anything, then
so
don't
they put
do
you
it,
in like a Nomex suit. And they pull the hood over you, and they do the whole nine yards. And
jumping off a pier is no small task.
Yeah, it's scary. I'm really scared. I think about it.
Oh, you're hitting. It's a couple stories up.
Yeah, but you can do
it's
that.
It's like 20, 30 feet.
Yeah, yeah. The real problem is when you hit the sawed-off pylon that's just below the water line, and it's back. Back in
or
the surgery.
Or the shark bait, or
you'll,
or drowning after you hit the water wrong.
You'll be fine. It's perfect too, because in theory the water's going to put you out.
That's what I think the theory is.
Now, how long do you have to be on fire before you take the leap? I mean, do they want you to take a couple of beats?
I don't know. We haven't done any of the rehearsals yet. I'm sure they're going to want me to do it up until, because once it starts to cover your face, you can't breathe.
Right.
So you have to hold your breath and then, you know.
Let me say this about this stunt. And I don't mean this to be condescending at all or take away from the stunt, but this is a good stunt because it's going to look great, but I think the danger is minimal. I mean, you're going to go up in flames, but then you're going to fall
so
into the water.
Why don't you come and do it with me?
I'll do it with you. I gotta crawl into the Nomex suit with you. Maybe we'll get like a mummy bag made of Nomex and we'll light ourselves on fire. No, I'm not saying it doesn't take, what do chicks have, Drew?
Nuts.
Nuts. I'm not saying it doesn't take that, but there's certain stunts like falling down a flight of stairs that you don't get that much credit for, but it's really worse than lighting yourself on fire. I'd rather light myself on fire and jump into the thing. I know I sound like a prick right now. I'm not. I don't mean to come across that way, but I'm saying
you
got the water. If everything goes bad, you just fall in. You just got to fall into that water. That'll put you out, and then they'll fish you out.
Yeah, just got to fall into the water.
The idea though that you could take take one inhalation and inhale fire.
Yeah, well, that's a
or
problem.
Or fall wrong into the water. There's a lot of things.
No doubt you'll be paralyzed.
Or not make it there.
Make it into the water?
Yeah. What happens if I don't make it over there? They have to put me out with extinguishers.
I would just kick you into the water if I were those guys. You'd be pretty close to the edge.
I wonder why I don't like you.
Oh, Angie, but you know what? Don't worry.
By the end of the evening.
By the end of the night.
I love you.
I love's a strong word, but you'll certainly tolerate me by the end of the night. And, you know, I normally don't like redheads, as Drew knows, but Angie pulls it off. You got that look. You know why? Because you're one of those redheads that isn't all white and freckly. You're like the color of your hair. That's nice.
I'm the color. I'm red completely.
Yeah, it's almost like an Indian.
I'm Irish, German, and Cherokee Indian.
There you go.
I have the Indian blood
There you go. Yeah. I'm a big fan of Drew's. Your mom always wanted you to marry a doctor?
My mom just wants me to get married, I think.
Oh, really? Yeah. Ashley?
Yes?
You're 20?
Yes.
What's up?
Okay, I think that I'm incapable of having an orgasm, and I know that's not true, but, like, every time I'm getting into it, I, like, get into it so much that I'm just like, okay, I gotta stop.
This is that quality that men don't have biologically.
Right.
What's that?
Where we get all weird and go like, stop.
Oh. No.
No, it's not that. No, it's not that at all. I'm not like, oh, no, stop, because I'm trying to be a good girl or anything.
No. You missed the point.
What do you think we're talking about?
I don't know.
Well, you said you get close to an orgasm.
Yeah.
But you can't quite get there.
Men don't have that. They don't have that.
What do you start thinking about when you get close to that?
I just actually envision, like, I just think about what he's doing.
All right. I don't know. How dumb can our callers
be? Help her out.
Why am I dumb?
Well, I don't know. It would take too long to explain it. But listen, Ashley, have you ever had an orgasm?
No.
And on your own, anywhere?
No, never.
Never. All right. You're 20. This happens to about 15% of society.
Oh, at least, yeah. But what is it that makes her go almost to the point and then back away?
Well, maybe she should go buy herself a vibrator and sit in her room.
Shower.
Or the shower or her finger and sit in her room and masturbate until she does have an orgasm.
You ever tried that?
Yeah, I tried a couple times. I don't know. It just doesn't...
You ever tried the vibrator?
No.
Why don't you try that and don't give up?
Yeah.
And don't think that it's, like, dirty or...
Angie's going to light her vibrator on fire for a Fox special. Hey, Ashley, why don't you try the tub? That seems to be a good place.
I've had a friend tell me to do that, actually.
Yeah. Well, here's the point. What do you want us to do? Send the orgasm fairy to fly over to your house?
There's a part we're not talking about here, and that is that some women need to sort of find an emotional space for this to happen normally. It just doesn't... Yeah, but it just doesn't happen mechanically, and it doesn't happen because guys don't know what the hell they're doing, or she's not into that relationship.
Think of a fantasy that you have in your head and stick with it.
Right. You have anything good? Who do you like?
Who I like? Like famous?
Well, I don't know. Is there a guy you work with?
No.
Do you have a boyfriend?
No, we just broke up 2 months ago.
Nobody in your life? No one from TV?
No. Well, I'm just incredibly in love with Brad Pitt,
Brad Pitt?
There you go.
Think about him.
There you go. That's novel.
Well, and like when we do stop or whatever, and then I stand up or try to walk or whatever, my legs feel like rubber bands.
Because they've been so tense.
You've been pushing too hard.
Too
hard.
Just relax a little.
Why don't you talk to some of your girlfriends, like the ones who tried to steer you toward the tub, and just listen to them a little bit. See what they do. They tell you it feels good. Why don't you try it?
But, I have one friend, and she can have an orgasm, so easily.
Yeah.
And she has multiple orgasms.
All right, but that's less than 5% of all.
Okay, all right, so don't do that idea.
No, that's a different thing.
I know, but what is she talking...
She's just saying it's so frustrating. She's 20. Interpretation is...
She's 20! She's not 14, she's not 10.
The interpretation, though, is I've got one friend that she gives me this advice. It's so easy for her, and I try that and it doesn't work.
Except for the part where she says she doesn't try it.
Yeah, I bet she does.
I know, but what's wrong with the people who call this show? It's like, you got this friend, talk to this friend, and they answer with, I got this, it's so easy for her.
I know.
Talk to her.
You had a bad day.
No, but do you want to talk to the friend that doesn't have any orgasms for orgasm advice, or do you want to talk to the ones that has orgasms?
Actually, women who have trouble shouldn't talk to the multiply orgasms.
Oh,
because it's so different. Those are the ones that can have orgasm during leg lifts.
But Ashley, she said, you want the orgasm, yes?
Yeah.
Yes. She suggested the tub. That's not a bad place to start.
No, she doesn't do that. Her boyfriend just goes down on her, just like my boyfriend.
Okay, but another one of your friends who's had a triumph in the tub has suggested the tub, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so why don't you try the tub?
Good times.
What do you want Drew to do? Shove his tongue through the microphone? You hold the phone down your crotch?
No, that's
all right. Get started, baby. Whoa.
Cartoon.
I can't take this anymore, Drew. I'm just saying, I think people expect... Here's what people do, and this is what I've had an ass full of in this society. People look around. They see what people look like. They see, she's got big cans and a small ass, or this one has multiple orgasms, or this guy's able to date this person or make this kind of money. And then they just put their hands on their hips and they go, what about me?
Yeah.
Well, how come I can't? And then someone says, this person went to college and he worked very hard. And they just cross their arms and go, well, screw that. I want some. And it's like, well, do the work. Exactly. Whatever you got to do, do the work. You may be a little behind here. You don't have orgasms. You got to hit the tub. You got to get a vibrator. Got to put in the work, just like anything.
Jeez, Adam, it's something you've had an ass full of. I'm just shocked to find something like that for you.
Well, it's like weight. Some people are born with very nice physiques, very nice bodies. Some people are a little bit overweight. They got to work a little harder. That's
I always have to fight with my weight.
Oh, yeah, you're a mess.
I do. Seriously, I always have to fight with my weight.
I know, you have to fight with your weight because you want to look perfect instead of just really super hot.
You should see my family, though. My parents, my grandmother, they're all fat.
Really?
They're fat women. They're not just overweight. They're fat.
Really?
They got big butts.
What are they coming in at?
I would say my mother at 5'6 weighs 150, 60 pounds. I mean, she's a big woman. She's got a big butt.
My thought is immediately the caller we had last night. Is that your thought?
We talked to a woman last night who was 5'9 and 185 and considered herself, you know, sort of medium build. So it's all in the eyes of the beholder. Well,
for me, if I weigh 140 pounds, that is like humongous.
And what do you, what height are you, 5'11?
I'm 5'10.
5'10.
But I don't own a scale.
Yeah.
So I don't know how much I weigh.
You don't need a scale. As long as you check yourself out every morning.
I just think that numbers kind of freak women out when it comes to, like, you know, getting on the scale. It's like, I just see how my jeans fit, and if I feel good in my jeans.
Right.
Then I'm happy.
I like to feel those jeans. Kayla?
Yeah, hey.
15.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah. Yeah, and she's got a big crush on Jerome. It's breaking my heart. It's breaking my heart.
I have a crush on you, though.
Yeah, that's great.
Can you add me to your list of taking virginities away?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I live in Oceanside.
In a few years.
Yeah,
so he doesn't
years.
Go to jail.
Well, what I'm going to do with the list is I'm going to start
each
with
day a new 18-year-old.
That's right. On your birthday is when I come by the house. I'm like Ferrell's. It's like Ferrell's in my underpants.
It's like that Dr. Seuss book, Happy Birthday to You.
Yeah. My genitalia would be like...
The hoo-honkers and the...
Be like Denny's. You get a free corn dog on your birthday. Yeah, so what we'll do there, Kayla, is you're 15.
Yeah.
When's your birthday?
April 28th.
April 28th.
Oh, it's open on your schedule. Look at that.
Oh, that's nice. The 28th of April. So
the afternoon. Anyway.
I got about 2.5. Yeah, I'm gonna. What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna shoehorn you into a morning session, if that's okay with you.
Oh, I'm free.
And your people. And they can call my people, but I'm going to ink you in now. I'm just going to go ahead and confirm that. And that's about 2.5 years from now.
Mm-hmm.
Because, April 2005, yes.
Yeah, what I'm going to do is I'm going to start nailing women tomorrow.
Who all will turn 18
tomorrow. Right, it's going to take me about 2.5 years to get perfect. Perfect.
Awesome.
Right.
That's awesome. Thank
that's awesome.
So much.
Right. And theoretically, there's young girls being born now all across the country that'll fit onto the calendar at some point, again, in 18 years from now.
Good.
Unless they lower the age of consent.
Right. Okay. Can I say one question?
Yeah.
Okay. Thank you. Dr. Drew,
mm-hmm.
I was watching your show last night on TLC.
Mm-hmm.
And, okay, first of all, it was awesome.
It was a good show, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. I just want to know if you ever considered putting it in, like, schools when they teach sex ed, because the ones they show right now suck.
No, I know this. I have a feeling, again, TLC, the Learning Channel, owns the tapes, and if you notice, they're trying to sell the tapes and whatnot, and I suspect they will distribute them to schools.
That's awesome. Yeah. Have you seen the ones now?
The ones that you guys are seeing in school? No, but I've heard that it can be pretty cumbersome.
What are you talking about?
The sex ed tapes that a lot of schools get.
They're boring, and... I don't know. They're all 80s and 1993 looking.
You mean they're not showing pornos in sex ed school on sex ed tapes?
With the show, the Learning Channel thing is going to re-air, tape it. It's going to re-air again on September 1st and August 30th. And it's got like four more air days.
You saw it, Kayla.
Uh-huh.
I mean, did you absorb the information? Or?
Yeah.
All right.
Seriously, like stuff I didn't know. They just came up there like about guys or different stuff about girls, how the girl was 14 and she was like, I don't know, so tall. Yep. And I'm only like 5'1".
Well, when's it coming on again, Drew, so everyone can tape it?
I write it down. August 30th and September 1st, I think. I think it's usually at 8 and 11, something like that. Let me see.
Drew will give it to you.
Hey, but listen, one of the things that they did show that,
thanks,
that was
Kayla.
Really interesting.
I'll see you in 2.5, 28th, yes?
Uh-huh.
Hold on, just a quick second.
10A.
This is a little quick business. be there about 10A, shower up. I request a fruit platter, cheese, some crackers. No generic crackers, please.
Okay.
Triscuits, Wheat Thins, preferably, and
bagels.
I'm gonna need a clean towel, a pot of coffee, and floss.
Do you like Mexican food?
I'm gonna floss, non-waxed floss.
Do you like Mexican food?
Yeah, but I don't think my 11 o'clock would appreciate that.
All righty.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, one of the things they do, you'd actually appreciate this. They take
it's on my rider.
No doubt.
Yeah.
They take these teenagers and they show them a series of pictures of people who are clearly having these intense fear reactions. I mean, any adult looking at this, these are very, like, horror pictures. People having horror. And they showed it to these 16-year-olds and they did PET scans of their brain as they looked at the pictures. So one kid we didn't see fear in any of the faces. He saw anger, sadness. And when you look at the PET scan, the limbic areas light up that cause them to react to what they think is coming in, but no frontal lobe function, no objectification, no integration, no experience with what really is being reflected back at them. In other words, this is that.
I'm having that right now,
this
by
is
the
that,
way.
Thank you. I'm having that, actually.
So he showed no fear in anything?
He couldn't see fear in another person.
But what's the point? I mean,
the point is that they don't reflect. This is what we deal with in the show. Is what's so frustrating to you. They don't perceive what's going on in other people.
Hmm.
That part of the brain just doesn't even activate.
I saw.
They just react to what they suspect is going on.
On the same topic, I was watching like 2020 over the weekend, and they were showing a whole thing about. And you're going to be glad to hear this, Angie. How the brain reacts to beauty, and especially when in the form of a woman, not so much in a man, and how it reacts to how women and men react to beautiful, beautiful women. And it's basically the same stuff that goes on when they see some cocaine, heroin, or see some food.
Anterosingular gyrus, absolutely.
So beautiful women are addictive.
No, they form motivational impulses.
Yeah,
you start motivating based on what's coming in.
That's right. They put these people in they did a PET scan of these people.
Yeah.
We've been doing this
stuff for a long time. With the cocaine.
All right, Drew, why don't you bring it up on the air once in a while?
We take these same people and we.
Well, I know with
hang
cocaine.
On, relax, relax.
What are you, cocaine?
Relax. We show them pictures.
Jesus.
Listen.
What's up with you?
Listen.
What's up with you? That's my question.
Let me finish the thought. You'll understand.
All right. Go ahead.
We take normal people and show them pictures of cocaine and pictures of beautiful women.
Right.
Obviously, the beautiful women lights up the anterior cingulate gyrate. The cocaine almost does nothing there. You take a cocaine addict and you show them the same pictures. The women do not light up that part of the brain. The cocaine just turns it on tenfold.
Uh-huh.
So it's a part of the brain that can be usurped in the addictive process.
All right.
It's an interesting point.
You've usurped my point a little bit. A
little bit.
Yeah, which is... okay. Which was, PET scan, pictures of hot chicks, guys.
Does that work in babies also?
I don't know. You mean like when women see babies?
When babies see beautiful women, do they react differently to beauty?
Yes. I don't think they don't put them in the PET scan, I don't think.
Babies don't have other yet. They don't have self or other, so it's hard for them to do that.
Yeah.
They just have relationship.
They can't tell the difference between anything?
Between self and other.
Okay.
I don't know when that... It certainly affects when they do these tests, not via the PET scan, but just take a bunch of preschoolers, give her a good-looking teacher, give her an ugly teacher. It's like they ask them which one's smarter and which one's better and which one tells a better story and which one would make a better teacher, and it's the good-looking one all the way down the line.
Mm-hmm.
So it is interesting, and it is more than when you see a beautiful woman. It's true. It's more than just,
I would have to say going through life as a pretty woman and going through life as an ugly woman, there's definite advantages of being a pretty woman. You know, people are very open, and you can walk into a room and when other people couldn't get there.
Oh. Get a plane to stop like we saw that one.
Yeah, yeah. They did a thing where they sent ugly people, and I always feel bad for the actors. It was like, we need you as the
character actor.
Yeah, we need you the unattractive person. These unattractive people weren't that unattractive. They were just average, maybe even a little above average, and then they put a hot version of them, too. They went out and applied for jobs. Guys and girls, same thing. I mean, guys applying, ugly guy, unattractive guy, so on and so forth. The good-looking people just got it every time. Just got everything. And the good-looking people felt a little ripped off, too, by it, which made me want to just make them ugly. You know what I mean? Just one
problem.
One good left hand. Just they won't be so pretty anymore. But, it's tough. It's tough, Angie. You don't know if people like you for your looks, if they like for your personality, if they just want to set you on fire and throw you off a pier.
Well, you can usually... get past the look part after a few weeks.
I like Angie for Angie. Drew likes you for the hair and the leather. That's true. All right, we got to take a little break. Angie Everhart's our guest tonight. She's in FHM out on newsstands as we speak, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Angie Everhart is in here in studio tonight. She's on FHM, and a very, very provocative spread right in the middle of the magazine. It is a September issue. It is on newsstands as we speak. And
do you like the pictures?
Yeah. But, you know, you hold up. I mean, you look good in real life, which is nice. You know, a lot of the time you see the pictures and then you see the people in real life and you realize that photographers do a good job and the people in
post
do a good job. And no, you look better. And actually,
thank you.
If you're going to meet people, why not? I mean, Drew and I do this. We're smart enough to work with idiots who take horrible pictures of us all the time for everything. And then when we show up, we get, hey, you guys aren't so ugly. No, we don't get you look good. It's like,
you know, you're hideous.
Well, people do the math. If they see a headshot, if they see a publicity picture, if you're a 9 in the publicity picture, they will do the math in their head and bring you down to a 7, 7.5.
That's such a guy way to think.
They just do. You see someone's headshot. I mean, if you go to one of these places that does headshots or does photocopies or something.
The point is, it's supposed to be as good as it gets.
As good as it gets. This picture is going to be a little better looking than the person when you see them in real life with whatever flaws people have.
What is it with us?
We actually look maybe better or the same as our pictures.
We are our headshots.
Thank you, Drew. Hold on, that's heavy, man. Angie, there could be trouble here because I see here that you lived in Paris and speak fluent French.
Yes, I do.
Yes, and here's the trouble. Drew speaks fluent French.
Not fluent, but decent French.
Well, fluent by Loveline standards and by my friend's standards. That's for goddamn sure. So you guys should have a little conversation in French.
Vous êtes très beau ce soir.
Oh, merci, merci.
Il va être jaloux.
Oui, oui.
Oui.
Toujours, toujours.
You're saying yes. No good. Come on, say something to her.
She's embarrassing me.
Really? She's telling how good
please,
you look?
Can't you tell? Her face is turning completely red.
Be a little, give him a little dirty talk in French.
Dis quelque chose plus...
oh, shush.
You say mean.
Give her something dirty. Give Drew a little naughty talk.
I don't know any dirty French.
A little French.
Suce-moi la bite.
See, I don't know what that means.
Yeah.
It means suck my...
Poor Anderson's confused over there now. Don't worry about it. We don't have any French listeners. Nice. Well, Angie's a real deal because every third broad who rolls through, and not that you're broad, I mean the other ones are, who rolls through this studio, it says speaks fluent French on her thing, and turns out...
They don't speak French.
They never speak French.
Well, I definitely speak French.
Oh, that's nice.
Vraiment.
Oh, you and Drew. You and Drew should just go out in the parking lot and in French talk about how attracted you are to each other while I cry and masturbate and take phone calls in the studio.
In the bathtub.
For the 11 o'clock hour.
He doesn't need the tub.
No, I don't need the tub. Although it helps. It helps with cleanup. Kara?
Yeah, hi.
You're 19?
Yeah. It's kind of an embarrassing question. I was wondering if, well, my problem is when I masturbate, I can't get off unless there's something, you know, up my butt. And I was wondering, and, you know, since I kind of, you know, do that every day, I was wondering if that could be potentially damaging to have, you know, anal action every single day.
I guess it's the first time we've had that call. What did you say?
Yeah, and if this were a guy, what would you think, Drew?
I wouldn't be thinking a lot differently,
frankly. You'd think bogus.
I'd be thinking bogus.
Because I'm on the brink of bogus with Kara over
No, seriously.
All right. I'm good now.
Isn't it different how when a woman tries to convince us?
Yeah.
It's more easily.
It's an embarrassing thing. It's not something
well,
I would.
Sure. Like when you're at work or at school and you're ramming things up your ass.
What do you put up there?
Just my vibrator, but when I'm masturbating, I can't get off unless I have something up my butt.
So my sort of brain goes, gee, you need a high level of sort of arousal. And I immediately start thinking about whether you had some sort of physical abuse or something. Does that happen to you?
No. Not at all.
Nothing like that?
No. I don't need pain or anything. I just need something up my butt.
Don't get off unless you put something there?
I can't have an orgasm unless something is in my ass.
Wow. I'm sorry for you.
Where do you figure she went to finish in school?
I'm guessing probably in Paris, France. Where did your parent? Is Switzerland or France? Where did you go to finishing school?
Greece.
I think she finished in Greece. She finished in school.
She finished in Greece.
Hey, speaking of Greece, do you use lubrication?
Yes.
What do you put in you?
My vibrator. It's shaped as...
Well, then what do you use to stimulate yourself? That's all you have to do?
Oh, no. I use my fingers or whatever, but I have to have something up my ass as well.
All right, hold on a second. You know, it's funny. Most people avoid the sort of business end of the conversation. Like when you go to the doctor and you say, I have a lesion on my genital region, you know, and then you avoid it for the rest of the thing and you speak of it as the lesion, but you don't keep going, and up my ass. And every sentence you have is up my butt. Up my butt. It's like, so you need stimulation and that up my butt.
This is the same thing as the girl who goes, yeah, I have trouble talking about these things. I'm not used to speaking publicly. And so my boyfriend and I were cornholing the other day. And
This is that.
The embarrassment results in an overcompensation in the other direction.
Yeah, this is like the guy who gets the big zit on his forehead and walks up to everyone, and before they can start the conversation goes, yeah, I know, look at this zit.
Right, exactly.
Is that what's going on, Kara?
I just need to know if bad
you
for
need
me.
What do you need? You need something up your butt?
Up the butt.
Okay, well, hold on a second.
I just want to know if this is bad for me.
I'm going to ask a series of anal-related and non-anal-related questions. Yes? Yes.
Okay,
so this vibrator you put up your butt is vibrating when it's up your butt?
Well, actually, the battery, it died. I killed it.
So that's not important.
Is it large or small?
No. Yeah. It's the size of about, like, a 6.5-inch penis.
Okay. And it's sort of smooth-shaped like a vibrator would be.
Called the Corolla.
Yeah.
And do you need to move it around or just put it in there?
Slight movement, but not highly involved.
Uh-huh.
Like, just a little push.
Do you experience any ripping or discomfort as a result of this? Hemorrhoids? Seriously.
Sometimes, yeah, which I was wondering why I was... I mean, I know that's probably what it's from, and I wonder, but I don't know.
Well, you are hurting yourself. So to ask is whether you can hurt yourself when, in fact, you are hurting yourself, it's kind of, you've answered your own question.
The body has a funny way of talking to you.
Right.
I mean, if you have something wrong, I think that the body can speak to you, and if you're hurting down there, you're hurting yourself.
No, it kind of coincided with some bowel problems at the time. So that only happened once. It wasn't like this is a continual problem.
All right. So you may get through this without any serious problems, certainly.
How long has this been going on?
Well, it all started the first time my boyfriend and I tried anal sex. I just liked it so much. I couldn't get off on my own without replicating it.
Well, why don't you try abstaining from that for a while and try having an orgasm other ways?
I tried. I stopped for like a month. And I kept trying to just, you know, go back to the old ways, go back to plain vanilla, no sprinkles, and it doesn't work.
Right. And do you have a boyfriend now?
Chocolate sauce, isn't it?
And so this is part of the sex each time?
Well, no. I'm kind of embarrassed to ask for it all the time because he thinks he's a little more romantic than I am. I'm like the pushy one.
Right.
And he likes to have like romantic, cuddly sex.
Drew's got a look on his face. Let me ask couple quick questions. Where's your dad?
My dad?
Mm-hmm.
He's at home.
All right.
Asleep. Like, he's part of my life. He's not like an estranged father.
Everything's good. What's he do for a living? Attorney?
No, he works in insurance.
Aha. Uh-huh. And your mom, what does she do?
She works in consulting.
You get along with her okay?
No.
What's the matter?
Just standard teenage mother-daughter stuff.
Okay. No raping, no abusing,
no
bad like that.
No, we're the Cleavers. It's
all right.
Totally...
When did you lose your virginity?
When I was 15.
All right. How old was the guy?
He was 15 as well.
All right. You're fine.
Yeah,
you like stuff
enjoy
in the butt.
Just you.
Enjoy that butt. But,
she should learn to be less coy about asking what she wants from her boyfriend.
Yeah.
That's really the only thing we could really tell her, is that she should be able to not be ashamed and embarrassed about how her body works.
Yeah.
That's it.
But I can understand a guy being a little bit freaked out.
A 19-year-old. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you mean the 19-year-old guy.
19-year-old, especially when he thinks he's getting, you know, June Cleaver.
Right, right. All right.
And we could spark.
Well, I don't know. Would you want to shove something up somebody's rear end every single night in order to get her off?
For asking.
seems to be
no, it would be a little cumbersome actually.
Yeah, it's listen, you're talking to a guy who has difficulty putting socks on to go to work, so it would it would probably cut down on the sex, because it'd be like you know, I would be going through the checklist of what I have to do to, you know,
exactly.
Yeah, so tend to not do it as much, because, like, with the butt. Diana?
Yeah?
You're 15?
Yeah.
Your dad got fired for drinking at work?
Sort of. Okay, basically what happened was he has a history of alcoholism. He started drinking when he was 14. My grandfather or his father was an alcoholic before him. And so I'm assuming it's a genetic thing.
It usually is. Almost always.
Yeah. So... he had come to work a few times hungover, and they gave him a break basically because they pitied me. He has to support a kid because my mom is out of the picture.
Because of his alcoholism?
Partly because of it. It's kind of a long story. So
what kind of job does your dad have?
He was a manager at a grocery store.
Mm.
Not
right.
Exactly the most prestigious job, but...
Well...
It's a job.
It's a job.
Yeah,
no
exactly.
One...
So,
Where's my bourbon?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what's up now?
Okay, so my concern, well, I have a lot of concerns, but my main concern right now is, well, we live with his sister and her husband, so my aunt and uncle, and they're paying the rent basically mostly now just because my dad was fired and his alcoholism, you know, is because of this, and I'm afraid that, you know, we're not going to have anywhere to live.
Well, you think his sister's going to throw him out?
Yeah, and...
Why?
If he is thrown out, would you necessarily be thrown out, too?
Probably. I mean...
Why?
We don't have a really good relationship. It's more like, I mean, they don't really seem to like us very much.
Well, because your dad's a pain in the ass, and it's a burden,
yeah,
and all that kind of stuff.
Sucks. My parents fought all the time when I was little, and then my mom was cheating on my dad for a while, and then she took me for 6 months, and I was 6 years old. My mom took me away from my dad, and we moved to Florida.
Oh, Florida.
Yeah, which is a horrible place. And
yeah, I know.
Yeah,
all
yeah.
Crime emanates
full
from Florida,
really
all evil.
It's so terrible. Anyway.
Hey, Diana, just listen to me, because we got to go to break for a second here. Here's what you need to do. You're a smart girl. And I'm sorry you had to grow up so fast, and I'm sorry you had to play, you know, wet nurse to your alcoholic dad. I don't want it to ruin your relationship with every guy. Not every guy's going to be your dad, so please remember that. You got to go to Al-Anon or Alateen.
Got to go.
You got to get your grades up and stay in school, so in a few short years you can just go far away to college and leave
and
this
also,
train wreck
behind. And also,
it
might help if she just went and talked to her aunt and leveled with her
that
about her feelings, because if
yes.
You're honest and open and coming from a good place and saying your fears, most of the time it alleviates it takes away the heat of the problem.
And I think making it clear that it's not going to be an indefinite thing. You want to go away to college.
Right, but I feel like I'm the parent, and that's the problem.
I know.
No, Diana, we get that. You've been parentalized by the situation, both with your mom and your dad, and it's very unhealthy for you, because when you were developing, you didn't get what you needed in order to develop an adequate sense of yourself. You're only the only Diana you know is the one who takes care of everybody else, and that's a sad place to be,
yeah,
ultimately.
Throw yourself on the mercy of your aunt. And Diana, but, real quickly, you're 15, still a virgin?
Yes.
Yeah, you want to be put on the list? When's your birthday, sweetie?
Well, it's June 12th. But
June 12th.
Yes,
same year,
2005.
There you
June
go.
12th?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're in the Chicago area?
Yeah, a horrible suburb, but that's probably going to change, hopefully.
Yeah, June 12th. You think you go to college on the West Coast, perhaps UCLA,
yeah,
CSUN,
actually,
something like that?
My other aunt wants to send me. She's like, oh, yeah, California is a great place for college.
Okay,
like, yeah,
all right.
Place you ought to go.
All right, Beverly.
So are these only, these girls that you're putting on the list, is this just a one-time deal? Or
the day they turn 18.
Yeah, but just one time.
Just
well, no,
claim.
He's taking their virginity.
Yeah, just
right,
the one
I understand,
time.
But is he going to do it again? Is he,
well,
are you going to choose?
He can't do it again.
I can't take the virginity twice, but...
No, every day there's a new one.
But I understand what Angie's saying.
But are you going to...
See them again?
See any of these girls again?
You, I would come around on your 19th birthday, and 20th, and all the way. There's a cutoff. I think probably 45.
What about all the others in line to get their virginity taken?
I know
away?
It's not fair.
You've got to leave room for them.
It's not fair.
Wouldn't
it's
that get
fair.
A little boring though? Virgins all the time.
I don't know. I'm going to find out.
let her know on her 19th
birthday. I guess after you get to like 25,000, I guess you got to stop, take a break, crack a beer, and really sit back and take an assessment of the situation. And I'll get back to you on that. And that's part of the reason I'm doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, maybe it's not the greatest plan, but we'll find out. We'll take a break. Angie Everhart is here, and we'll be right back after this. Everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Angie Everhart is our guest tonight. Angie speaks fluent French. Wild, wild crush on Drew.
Oh, yeah.
She's gone out with the bad boys, and now she wants the mama's boy. She wants to change Drew's diaper and powder him down.
Drew's
coming
married.
Home. Yeah, that's another
thing.
We don't go after
married men.
I know, but man, it makes it tempting, doesn't it?
No.
Yeah, but here's what I'm asking.
Sorry.
Here's what I got.
There's enough men out there that I don't have to go after
That's
a married
right.
man.
Keep telling yourself that, baby. Meanwhile, you're melting in Drew's presence. But Dr. Love over here. But let me ask you this. Obviously, you don't want to get involved with a married man.
No.
And many women are this way. There's a guy they work with, some guy, whatever. He's married. Oh, it's too bad. Because if he wasn't married, if you were both single, certainly think about going on a date with the guy. But if you just had a fantasy, if it was just one night, and forget about marriage, and just completely hypothetical fantasy world, isn't the married guy a little more attractive?
Why?
You know, just because You only have one night. There's no relationship.
Because you couldn't.
I'm not talking about cheating. I'm just talking about pure fantasy.
I understand why that would be.
I'm saying there's a guy you work with. One guy's married. The other guy's single. They're qualified just the same, but you get one night
just
in fantasy land.
You can't have quality.
Yeah, because you're never going to get a second pass. You're not going to get another pass at the married guy. The single guy, theoretically, maybe down the road, who knows? Do you know what I mean? Does it add to it at all?
See, Adam's about to get
fantasy
Adam's
part?
About to get married. He wants to be sure that this is in fact the case.
Yeah, otherwise I'm not doing it.
You know what? I guess in life most people things are more attractive.
Right.
When you can't
have it.
But not
right.
you.
No.
Well, I just don't like dating married men. It just goes nowhere.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the
there's enough guys that I could date out there than dating a married guy.
For the crazy fantasy scenario, the married guy's kind of cool, right? Yeah, the crazy one-night fantasy, nobody knows.
It depends on the guy, but sure, why not?
Yeah, but true, right?
But Adam wants to
Sure, married. Drew.
Yeah.
Can I have one night?
Yeah, one night. I get to watch. Zachary and critique. True, okay, come on.
Where's the vomit Adam watching?
Zachary, you're 14.
Hey, Adam, what's up?
You're virgin.
Yeah.
And every time you go to have sex with your girlfriend.
Yeah, I just get these hot flashes and I just can't even think and I just get off right there.
In your pants.
Yeah, there's nothing I can do. I've tried like four times and nothing's worked.
You're turning it
on.
Nice. Slow down. All right. Well, you got a hair trigger penis. This is, I don't know what you can do about this. You can try to do a little masturbating before you head over to the girlfriend's house. You're 14. You're squirrely.
Don't go out with a loaded gun.
This is this is how it's supposed to go.
Yeah.
Yeah. He shouldn't even be running with his penis. It might go off.
Or he might fall and crack it.
He could trip and just ejaculate. Yeah. I don't know. Other than that, I don't know what advice we have for guys. There's not a whole lot of changing this.
No.
Unfortunately.
It's learning to just deal with it.
That's the way you're wired.
Right.
And you got to kind of work with it and work around it. You get a steady girlfriend, you stay with her for a while, you work the beats out.
So to speak.
It all works out. Yeah. Brian?
Yeah.
You're 21?
Yeah.
You, your dad stole, what, at age 3, mom found him out? What? What's your question?
The question is, I want to know how to get to know my mom. Last time I seen my mom, I was 3 years old.
Your dad kidnapped you?
He kidnapped me. She went to San Diego to handle some family business. And when she came back about 6 months later, my dad started moving and hopping apartments and never got a phone line.
Wow.
So the years passed, and now I'm 21. I met her 2 years ago. She found me on the internet. I had my own apartment.
How was that when you met her?
was kind of freaky at first. I thought it was a couple of girls from work that were infamous for playing those kind of pranks.
Wow, and then you met her and it was in fact her?
And then because the first time she left me, she left a message for me. She didn't leave a phone number, so I thought it was a prank. But the second time she called me a couple of weeks later, she left a phone number and all that good stuff. And I found out I had a brother and a sister I never knew I had.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
And so, what's the question now?
The question is, she doesn't really understand who I am, and just trying to get to know her again is just like,
it's a process.
You're making a statement that it's true. Yeah. Getting to know her again is a little hard, and it's been a ton of feelings and a ton of history, and it's not even like your mom anymore. It's just another person.
And she definitely doesn't know who you are, mm-hmm. because she hasn't spent any time with you.
And but I don't think you have to try to cram 18 years of separation into a long weekend or anything either. Right. I mean,
it's
just
gonna
take it slow.
And
work it out.
Down. I think it's desirable, though, to try to make that reconnection.
Yeah, and just do it at your own pace.
Yeah.
There's no rush. All right, we'll take a break. Angie Everhart here tonight on the in the pages of FHM magazine, and we'll be right back. Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Angie Everhart is our guest tonight. She's in the pages of FHM magazine, which is out in newsstands as we speak. I was reading something from her article. Actually, Ann came in and pointed at her article and told me to read it. I'm so lazy. My God. But there's a few things in here that caught my eye. One is...
Before you even say it, I know it is going to be Howard.
I know that's what you think it's going to be. But it's not.
Okay. Good. Surprise me, please.
I'm fine with that. Dating Howard Stern is what Angie's referring to, but I'm all right with that. The part that I was interested in is the part where a guy gave you a turbo Porsche.
Ooh.
Yes.
Yeah, the question was, what's the most ridiculous present you've ever been given? And it turbo Porsche. Who gave you a turbo Porsche?
I was going into business. I was setting up a production company, and that was the company car that he gave me, which
really?
Was fine with me. And then once we got into getting office space and I got involved with another man, he kind of closed down the company. I think it was because he was in love that
right.
he ended up giving me the car.
Yeah.
So.
Drew.
You know.
Anyone ever give you any wheels? I mean, like, if you got a moped, anyone give you a moped?
I'm trying to think of, like, a little matchbox or something.
Yeah. It's weird.
No, this is a real one.
As a guy, you pretty much go through your whole life, you don't get anything. You get nothing. Well, you get to die 10 years younger than the ladies, and prostate blows up. But, no, I've successfully made it through without, I mean, you get a little older, maybe you get a little successful, you get on TV or something, and your partners get together and buy you a pinball machine at some point, you know, but that's about as good as it's going to get for a dude, right? There's no handsome strangers.
Do you have a pinball machine yet?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. I got a Harlem Globetrotter pinball machine that Jimmy and Daniel bought me a couple of years back. I think that's about as good as it's
going to get. That's it.
Yeah. And by the way, up until show business, I mean, now you get into show biz, you get a manager, you get an agent, you make these guys $100,000 over the course of the year. They buy you a present for $400 or $500. That's not bad. But up until
I have
you
know, a deal with my agent point, on yeah. the first $5 million movie, I'm going to buy her any car she wants.
Oh, you buy her. You buy her.
I'm
going
to buy her a car.
That's a good way to encourage agents.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Any car she wants.
Yep.
Just one $5 million deal.
Sure, I mean God love to get into
all
that deal.
So what, turbo Porsche, 911 or 944?
It was 911.
Oh, that's good. What year?
Nine.
You gotta do the math?
No, I don't even know.
Middle 90s?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Late.
Good times. Bill, your 14 says also in the article that Stallone made you get rid of it. True?
It was a different car, but...
Yeah. They don't like, guys don't like remnants from other guys. Oh, he didn't want you to have another 911 turbo?
I only had the one. But,
right.
I've had other 911s.
Other gentlemen have given you other cars?
No.
Yes?
No.
Yes?
No.
Yes?
No.
Okay. Bill?
Yes?
Yes. Bill, gentlemen suitors have given you automobiles as well?
Huh?
Yes?
Huh?
Yes?
Huh? You sure?
14, Bill.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have a slight problem. Like the last two times I masturbated, when I had an orgasm, blood came out.
Not uncommon, Bill. In fact, most men experience that at some time or another. You're a little young to have that happen. And it's worth seeing a doctor just to be sure there's not something else going on, like something wrong with your clotting system or something that would predispose you to blood. Real unlikely there would be anything serious going on down there. But occasionally there is, but very, very...
Like STD or something?
Usually that's more blood and pus with urination more than with ejaculation.
Hold on, let me close my eyes. Yeah, yeah. Bill?
That's sick.
Are you sexually active?
Not really.
Yeah. All right, so where'd you get the STD? From beating off?
Possibly.
Yeah. Bill's such a jack-off. I hate teenage boys. When I'm in charge, I round them all up. That's what I do. I round them up and I do something. I keep an eye on them because I know they're trouble.
Guys,
well, I don't want to be like genocide or something. I'm no Hitler. I'm more Mussolini.
Mm.
For the people who know me, I'm not Hitler. I'm kind of Idi Amin meets Mussolini. You know, I would like to round up all boys like between the age of, let's say, 13's all right. You're somewhere around 14 or 15's where the trouble really kicks in, and then it goes all the way to like 26.
Sometimes it does
for
yeah.
guys. Yeah. Keep an eye on it.
We'll wrap up around 19 for some, though.
Think of the utopia we'd be living in if we could keep... If we just rounded up all the guys between the ages of 15 and 19.
Listen, half of the crime is committed by that age group.
Think of what a utopia we'd be living in. We'd all be sleeping at night with just our screen doors shut. You know what I mean? Cars open. No, worried about guys pulling Brodies in parking lots and their mom's Vegas and cleaning out your daughter while she's pushing the
cart.
I'm
definitely glad I'm past that age.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go back.
Michelle?
Mm-hmm?
You don't have to worry about guys giving you cars. Be a great... Oh, no. Those aren't the 19-year-olds. Those are the 50-year-old Arab guys, right? Yeah.
No.
Michelle?
Yeah?
You're 19?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
My husband and I haven't been married a year yet. We've only been married 7 months, and he has 3 years probation.
For what?
Him and a couple friends a year ago broke into some pools and stole candy and a bunch of stuff, but he's on 3 years probation for it.
Broke into pools?
Yeah.
Vending machines?
No.
Hold on a second. I don't want to hear the explanation. I want us to try to figure out what broke into some pools and stole some candies.
What could that possibly mean? I immediately went to the image of you and your buddies breaking into the Mulholland Club.
Oh, Drew, please don't talk. We didn't break in. We just merely scaled the wall and the fence and jumped off the roof into the pool. But what does breaking into pools and stealing candies mean? And by the way, That wasn't a slip up. That would have been the end of the explanation had we decided to move on.
She was moving right on.
Yes, we're dying to move on. I see. Pools and candies. Well, that's there's a lot of problems with that in society.
No, most pools have a candy vending machine by it, yes. Does she mean a pool hall? And then ripped off machines there?
I don't know. Does anyone want to take it? You wanna take some guesses?
I'll go for pool hall.
You're going pool hall?
Yeah.
Angie?
No, I'm going for pool.
Pool, swimming pool.
Yeah.
There was candy around the pool?
Filling the swimming pool?
Well, I think maybe it's a room that, like, snack bar.
Snack bar off the pool.
Like a hotel or something.
Mm-hmm.
All right, something with a vending machine.
Well, I think it's probably broken the snack bar.
Yeah.
Michelle?
Yeah.
So, let me get this straight. He broke into some pools and stole some candies.
And broke into the safes and stuff.
And broke into the pool safe.
Yeah.
I see. The one by the drain or by the light?
By the heater.
I don't know.
By the pool heater.
Oh, okay.
No.
The one in the snack bar.
Yes.
What,
gotcha.
What kind of pools did he break into?
Like the public pools, swimming pools. They have like a vending snack bar area.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also a safe?
Yeah.
You know, like it's like a restaurant.
They have a safe in this area, too. All right. Hey, and by the way, when you explain to people that he broke into some pools and stole some candies, does that confuse other people? They know what you're talking about.
Generally, they know what I'm talking about.
I see. Guy has a feeling. Guy has a feeling. Anderson knows. Ann knows. Yeah, Tara. Yeah.
All right, okay. Michelle, so what's going on? Let's get past that.
Well,
new call.
I can't.
New call.
That's my problem.
3 years probation.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't quit smoking weed, he will go to jail, or we could possibly lose our son.
So he's getting drug tested?
Yes, random UAs.
So he's going to get busted for using pot, all right?
Yes. And
you guys have one child?
Yes.
All right, could you please...
I'm going to fall. I have a son, and he has an 18-month-old.
Yeah.
With who?
Some other girl that...
One of the lifeguards at the pool.
No.
At the pool.
I see. Cashier at the pool.
I see. Hey, Michelle,
mm-hmm.
Could you please not have any more kids? Please,
okay.
please.
Well, I didn't plan on it in the first place. I was on birth control when I got pregnant.
Right. Mm. But that magically only happens to some certain folks. All right. So... You want to know what to do with this guy?
Yes, because I've tried talking to him, and nothing seems to help. He tells me that he
here's the deal. Here's the deal. He's severely marijuana addicted.
Mm-hmm.
So much so he's willing to go to jail for it. You certainly aren't going to be able to get him to want to stop or to do anything about his addiction, which takes a lot of work to stop marijuana addiction.
Mm-hmm.
So really, all you can do is protect yourself and your child, and you need to begin distancing yourself. You need to go to Al-Anon. You need to start doing some work. In fact, if he is going to do any work, that is probably the only way you're going to be able to get his attention and cause him to motivate himself to do something about this.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, you got to protect yourself and the child.
Why would you lose the child if he's smoking pot anyway?
Well, if DFS would come in to our house, I would be like an accessory to it. I would know that he was doing it.
What if you go to them and throw yourself on their mercy and say, this guy will not stop, this is what's going on, I want to keep my child, what can I do?
I have no clue. I haven't done that yet.
Yeah. Hey, Michelle.
Mm-hmm.
This guy's a lot of trouble.
Do you smoke pot with him?
No.
And you're more just confused than trouble. This guy may not be a great guy, may not be a great guy to raise a family with. And you're at a little crossroads here where I agree with Drew. It's you and your child versus him and whatever behavior he's got left in him. And he may have a lot.
It's him and his pot. He's not interested in...
It's probably even more than pot.
I'm
because,
sure.
He wasn't breaking into pools to get money to score a dime bag.
Yeah.
Believe me, this guy's trouble.
Just think of your child.
So Michelle, who's from Montana, you need to just completely focus on what's best for you and your child. That's the question you got to ask yourself. And whatever that is, if he wants to go down that road, then he has to go down it alone.
And if it is vitally important to you to change him, you really only have two ways that can change him. One is going to Al-Anon and changing yourself, and that does sometimes get people to change. And the other way is to bring the force of God to bear, bring the law down on him for great consequences for his behavior.
I don't know if you guys have the same picture in your mind of this guy as I do, but I'm picturing a real James Bond type. White dinner jacket.
Usually tuxedo most of the day.
White dinner jacket. But still, yes, the tux look with the white tux jacket.
Shawl collar.
Yeah, silk.
Sure.
Silk.
Shame.
Drinking a martini. Drinking a martini. Hair impeccably groomed. Speaking the Queen's English.
Oh, yes.
Yeah, a real international jewel thief type guy, planning out these public pool snack stand robberies long in advance, using state-of-the-art equipment.
In fact, there's a sequel now to Ocean's 11.
Yeah.
This is great. It's perfect.
Yeah, yeah, that's the way.
Just the kind of guy you want to be like.
That's the way I picture this guy, yeah. All right, let's talk to Kimberly. Kimberly?
Hi, Adam.
Hey, Kimberly.
I have a bone to pick with you, but first I'd like to say I'd get my hymen reconstructed and you can retake my virginity.
That's a...
What did she say?
She wants to get her hymen reconstructed so I can punch it out for a second time.
So okay. She wants to get on the schedule. The schedule.
Yeah, there will be room for that on my schedule. Those names will have I'm going to put a little smiley face by those so I can identify that, though.
Isn't that a good way to start the phone call? I have a bone to pick with you.
Yeah.
It's an immediate warming feeling.
Right.
But then she said, I want you to take my virginity.
Right.
That helps,
she
I guess.
Followed it up with that.
So what's up, Kimberly?
Well, you always, ask woman's weight to determine if she's attractive or not. But according to, the science of attraction, for the body size, to determine if a woman's body is attractive, you take the waist measurement and divide it by the hip measurement. And if it's approximately 0.7, that's the most attractive.
The waist measurement by the hip measurement,
uh-huh.
and you divide it, and if it's point,
so the
point
hip should
seven,
be, it should be 30%
but
here.
What does that mean? I mean, is that does that mean 70%? Meaning, if your waist is a 25, then what should your hips be? Or if your
35.
Waist is a
about 30, 8, 37 maybe.
Okay.
Yeah. They've discovered that the winners of the Miss America pageants, they through the years they've had waist hip ratio of approximately 0.7. But yeah. As time goes on, the women have gotten thinner.
You yeah. see what I'm talking about? Numbers screw people up.
Well,
you see what I'm talking about?
Listen, Kimber, let me tell you something about the Husky Squad. They work the numbers like the Anti-Smoking League works their deaths attributed to secondhand smoke numbers, which is just spin it any way they can.
I think you should relax on the numbers of what your hips and your waist should be and just look in the mirror.
Well, there's one number. We look at you and we either give you a 6 or we give you a 3 or we give you a 7 or we give you a 10.
But over the phone to determine if she's attractive or not, you always ask the weight, but that doesn't really tell you
yeah.
much.
Yeah, oh, yes. Oh, yes, it does.
You're fat.
Yes, it does. I'll give you, for instance, Kimberly, how tall are you?
I am 5'5".
5'5", and the weight? I got to do a little radio math here.
I don't know my weight. I don't have a scale.
All right, what would you guess?
Maybe 150.
Maybe 150. Ooh, now I really got to pound some crunch of numbers here. 5'5", maybe 150, doesn't know. That's going to be tough. So you have to cover the floor, bring three around. I get 5'3 and 7/8, 167, Drew.
That's impossible.
Yeah, I'm sorry. The radio math, you cannot lie. The radio math does not lie.
That's mathematically impossible.
That's is an equation as valid as Pythagoras' triangle.
No.
Yes.
Oh, yeah,
Drew. How do you like me now, Angie, with Pythagoras? Yeah, throwing around theorems.
Bring up Pascal and she'll be
All right, Drew. Just go look at your pager again. Kimberly, here's the deal. When a gal calls the show like last night, says she's hasn't had a date in a couple of years, and she's 5'9". I am with everyone else who calls the show and explain to her that guys, most guys, not black guys, but most guys do not like a 185-pound woman. That is a little bit on the heavy side for most
guys.
So
when women build muscles, I mean, when they...
Well, consider that when I'm examining you naked.
But, also, if she weighs a lot, all of her weight could be on her boobs, and then she could have really big boobs, you know?
It's a possibility that the 185-pound girl would weigh 126 without her breasts, and in which case, I want to apologize.
So you have
deeply.
To waste hip ratio to see if she's attractive.
I listen. Look. Please.
Who cares?
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Drew and I have seen a trend in this show, which we always talk about, which is there's a lot of 190-pound women out there who look at themselves as big-boned or voluptuous. And I'm just telling you, I don't care what you weigh. I'm letting you know most
Atkins
guys.
Diet.
I'm
like,
well, no,
explaining
wait a minute.
What guys like.
We have two reactions. One is, isn't that nice?
Great that you...
In that you feel that way, but you're kind of bewildered by the fact that guys don't seem attractive. Well,
right.
If you want to hear reality, Adam
right.
provides
you're,
a dose of
you're
that.
The size of an outside linebacker at a junior college, and you think you're a pixie. That's fine. God bless
that's
you.
Great.
I
that's,
wish I felt that good
listen,
about
we
myself.
Complained, we complained so much about
beautiful.
Feeling differently than that.
But the reason the guys aren't banging down the door could have something to do with that. That's all I'm saying, and that's
if they weren't
the
calling
answer.
About that, you wouldn't be addressing that at all.
No, but it's like and I look at us as sort of mechanics. You bring your car in, you need a transmission rebuild, but we're nice guys, and we don't want to tell you that. So we're just going to tell you, we'll just adjust the clutch a little bit. You'll be fine. No, that's not our job. Our job is, sorry, you blew a tranny. You need a new tranny. It's going to cost $1,400. That's it. Do you want to know why it's not running? That's why. I'm not going to tell you another answer. Heather?
Yeah.
You're 33?
Exactly. Yeah.
What's up with you?
Nothing much. At first, Adam, I wanted to ask you, you want to take women's virginity, right?
I'd like to, yes.
Well, how about, can I take yours?
Well, mine was given away many, many years ago.
Really?
Was taken, actually. Wasn't
it was actually taken, stomped on, and then stuffed back into me rectally.
Right.
Yes. Yeah.
Oh, you like it like that, too, huh?
Yeah, bitter. Very bitter. You know that. You could make it right. You could make me forget, Angie.
And I wanted to ask, Angie.
Come right, Adam. It's good.
Thank
you. When are we going to see you on the big screen again?
Hopefully not too long from now. I have a movie called Bandito coming out soon.
Right on, right on.
And who's in that?
It's, his name is Carlos Gallardo. It's a Mexican production.
Oh, I bet he's some kind of good looking, that Carlos.
He's a cutie. He's
most guys named Carlos are attractive.
Like, ever since you saw The Flying Nun, you figured
the
that.
The Bachelor from The Flying Nun was named Carlos. He was a good looking guy.
And I have a TV movie that's coming out, I don't know exactly when, called Wicked Minds. Hearst Productions. I don't know the date.
All right there, Heather. You've been drinking tonight?
No, actually I haven't.
You're a heroin addict.
Drew,
no,
please.
Please.
What do you do?
I work for Starbucks.
I see.
Yeah.
All right. Good times, baby.
I know.
Right. All right. Good times.
Oh,
yeah. That it? That it?
Yeah.
All right.
It.
All right. Good times there, baby. The question was a question for Angie about sleeping with Howard Stern, but she asked about the movie thing. So God bless her. And you know what? I don't care about that stuff. I don't care what people do. I'm not into that kind of thing. You know, what's behind you is behind you.
Exactly.
What's behind me is behind me. And the point is, we got to start fresh.
I feel like that too. I hate it when people ask about your past. I mean, granted, if there's things that come up.
Well, I guess the question is,
don't hold it against me.
What is it?
Because I've dated certain people.
Well, what does it get them? I guess is the question.
Nothing.
Whether it's a new partner or whether it's just a newsman.
I think people want to get closer to somebody they are intrigued with in the media, and you're sort of a conduit. What are they really like? What was that like? This kind of thing.
Yeah, I mean, there is that sort of voyeuristic element where if you went on a date with some, you know, household name, that people would want to know what the person was like.
Exactly.
I understand that. I understand. But there's probably a respectful way to go about that as well. Mm. Big penis?
No. Not talk about it.
No.
I don't care. Mike?
Yes.
You're 26?
I'm 26.
What's up?
Adam, you say you don't read and that sort of stuff. You don't do educated stuff, but your vocabulary is pretty impressive.
Thanks. I mispronounce a lot of things, too.
Yeah, you will. We'll let you go.
Thanks.
The problem I'm calling about is I am 26, yet I think I have prostate problems. And I want to know if that's possible.
What's happening? What do you got?
I go to the bathroom quite frequently and don't feel like I completely flush my bladder.
How long has that been going on for?
Years, I guess. It feels like
years?
In some, yeah.
Are you on any medication?
I'm not on any medication.
Do you lift weights?
No.
Do you ride bicycles?
Yeah.
Okay, this could be from that.
Really?
Yeah.
How much do you ride?
I'm starting to get up to like 2-3 rides a week.
Hmm.
Do you have a paper route, or is this just for exercise?
It's just for pure pleasure.
You use one of those special padded seats?
I've got the V seats.
Yeah. You got to be careful. People don't...
What's the V seat?
The space.
Look for the P seat.
There's a space where you can fart clearly.
Nice. I got to get that in my car.
What was that?
Yeah, I don't break wind, nor do I think it's funny, but hey, if that's your thing, that's your
thing.
Couldn't
you just stand up?
Yeah, I mean, really?
I guess it's
I don't know why so many guys are amused by that, but Mike, yeah, you got the V seat, right?
Yeah, I got the V seat. So, right. It's supposed to take the load off of
right.
load.
Yeah, hey, you start to realize the ass, the nutsack area, not what it was. Like
it's also not meant to be have a, you know, basically be sitting on a 2x4 hour upon hour.
I used to ride a unicycle when I was a kid and hopped on one
Adam,
recently.
You're losing her.
There's nothing wrong with riding.
It's always a wacky
child riding
weird
a
kid on the unicycle. Give me a break.
I know, but I wasn't that
can
weird kid.
Can you still
kid.
Ride the unicycle?
Yeah, yeah.
Can you?
Yeah, you know, I can because...
My mom can ride a unicycle.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Not sure if that's good or bad.
It's good. I love my mother.
It might be a nice icebreaker when I meet her. Mm-hmm. Oh, hello, Mrs. Everhart. Here you go. Here's a nice unicycle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the thing that's weird, I don't even know what this means, but I've realized that everything is about a feeling, like what it feels like to do something.
Right.
That's how you can do it. Like, I know what it feels like to ride a unicycle. I may not have any better balance than your average guy. I don't have different, bigger leg muscles or more coordination. I just know what it's supposed to feel like. So when I'm riding it, I know what it feels like. Like, people who drive a stick shift know what that feels like.
Uh-huh.
And same with surfing, snowboarding, or whatever. And it's a weird thing because if someone could somehow instill that feeling in your brain, you could do it. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I could get on a surfboard and know what it feels like I know what a unicycle feels like.
The reality is, to get to that place requires a 100,000 tiny adjustments.
I know, but what ends up being different? What's different in your muscles? What's different in your brain?
Wiring is different. You've wired that place now.
Could we download that?
Not into yet. The balance.
Not yet.
Not yet, but it's an interesting
premise. Yeah, but if we could do that, we should be able to download playing the piano, too, then.
Wouldn't that be great?
That's what I'm saying. Yes. I mean, people who play the piano know what it feels like, and I have no feeling for it.
Well,
you know,
here we go back to what you were saying. You have to work for it.
Yeah, but that's out of the question.
So how did we go from this gentleman's prostate
to playing the piano?
I'm saying I hopped on this unicycle and about smashed my balls. That's
okay.
What I'm saying.
All right. You know you're as bad as one of our callers.
Was that really what that was all about? Because when I was a kid, I used to ride the thing off of park benches, off of loading
kid,
docks,
your nuts
off a curb.
Dropped yet.
That's my point. Now I hop on this thing. You got to contend with it now. You got to deal with it now.
Now, not just them dropping, but now gravity has taken their effect.
Yeah, I got caught in the spokes one time.
For God's sakes.
Right on my head.
But listen, you do not have prostatic hypertrophy in the sense that a 50 or 60-year-old man gets it, but you can get irritation of the prostate, you get irritation of the nerve by sitting on the bike seat. So it is something you ought to look into. It is not normal for you to have difficulty emptying your bladder at your age.
Or see a doctor.
Let's look into it.
Good point. We'll take a little break. Angie Everhart here in the pages of FHM Magazine. Take a quick break. We'll be right back. Buddy, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew. Angie Everhart is our guest tonight. Let me say this about Angie Everhart. And Drew, I know you pretty much have to agree with me because she's here, but Angie's she's the real deal. Now, a lot of the gals we have on this show, model types, actress types, beautiful women, they're not quite the real deal. You know what I'm saying? They're a little bit shorter, a little bit pastier.
Right.
They photograph a little better than they look in real life. And when it comes to their life, when it comes to the actually speaking the French fluently, like most of them claim and none of them do, they're a little shorter, a little dumber in real life. Would you say that if most people come on this show, including us?
Before you, okay, if you include us, then of course. But I think the way to describe it is less substantial.
Less substantial. Yes. Angie, you're sort of...
Wow.
Yeah, you mean, I'm sure you got issues up the wazoo. And I'm sure you'd be a total handful to date. But, I mean, you're definitely a substantial person, which is nice. And I don't know if... I mean, I know you can mold yourself into that to some degree, but it's kind of like... eyesight or something, either born with good or bad.
Did you with your family together growing up, that kind of thing?
I have four older brothers. Yeah. My mom and dad are still married.
You see that we always get, that's always the background. And is your dad like a fighter pilot or something?
Engineer. He's an engineer.
What kind of engineer?
Civil engineer. He designs roads.
Yeah. Jesus.
We got to talk to him.
They're really cool people.
Yeah. Yeah, there's
a
sort of...
come from a really great family.
Where?
Ohio.
Where?
Akron, Ohio.
Akron.
Sort of
that's Firestone country, isn't it?
Yes. Firestone golf course. I went to my high school was Firestone.
Firestone High School.
I did.
Yeah, I went to it's an incredibly, very uniquely named school. It was in North Hollywood. It was called North Hollywood High. Possibly you've heard of it.
No.
Yeah.
Didn't they just have a reunion last weekend?
Yeah, they're smart. I mean, you know.
What year reunion?
No,
30.
No, 20. How dare you? I'm seasoned. I'm just not that seasoned. Yeah. It's smart to name your school after the city it's in. It takes all the guesswork out of the commute. Sarah?
Yes.
You're 20?
Yep.
What's up?
Okay. I love you guys, first of all.
Thank you.
Second of all...
I do too,
Yeah, you could do worse.
I want to know if there's any health risks in taking many Advil a day, like two to four every day.
Four of the over-the-counter dose?
Yeah.
That's about 400 milligrams a day, and that's actually a pretty small dose. Now, that doesn't mean you can't hurt yourself with that. You can easily get ulcers. You can cause kidney failure.
There's even a liver inflammation associated with this, but it's not very likely to happen, but it can happen. So you shouldn't, this is not a medicine meant to be taken every day of your life.
Doesn't it affect your hearing, too, if you take too much?
Vicodin does that. I've not heard that Advil does that.
Oh, it's aspirin.
Aspirin can do that. Take a lot. But this, she's not taking a lot. Taking a small amount, but over long periods of time. Again, the main thing we worry about is bleeding ulcers and kidney disease.
What are you taking it for, Sarah?
Well, it's actually a friend of mine who does this, and she has an anxiety disorder, and she's on other, you know, she's on regular meds for it, too, but she takes Advil a lot.
Advil's not an anxiety medication.
Well, she gets really tight muscles because of it, and she takes it for that instead.
She's also probably what we call somatically preoccupied. She has a lot of physical complaints, and all of her emotional experiences get sort of expressed through physical complaints.
You guys virgins, you...
No, sorry about that.
Oh, is that
you can't add them to the list.
I'm just—I had the list out.
I saw it there. Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I'm canvassing. It's all right. It's all right. Stacy.
Yes.
16.
Yes.
Virgin.
Not
anymore. Did I just miss you? Or?
Excuse me.
Okay. You're
no more.
Not no more. You're 16. When did you lose your virginity?
A couple months ago.
You know, I think this kind of thing, my Adam nails you at 18, wait till 8 kind of thing or something. I'll work the thing out, but it would be a good state-sponsored policy because then women would wait till 18. Wait till they're 18.
So wait, we need some sort of catchy phrase for this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ace at 18.
Wait for 8.
Yeah.
We'll get it.
Wait for 8.
We'll work it out, but we do a whole thing. I'll get corporate sponsorship. I'll give them like an Aquafina water, and like a pullover sweat jacket from Bennington, and maybe like
a pullover sweat jacket for their for taking their first virginity.
I'm saying.
Can
like,
you give them something a little more?
A tote. AM/FM radio. You know, like when you do a bad game show, they send you packing with some little
tote
bag.
And a whole bunch of rubbers.
Got a little, some shampoo
in there
or
something. Send
them
off to their new life with a lot of rubbers.
Adam, wait to break. Wait to break. Adam at 18.
Yeah, it's bumpy. It's bumpy. Well, we're getting there.
Wait to break.
Now, we're getting there, Drew. It doesn't have to be settled tonight. Stacy?
Yes?
It's just before we finish the silk screening, we're going to need to settle. So your question is, you've only had sex with boyfriend once, yes?
Not once, a couple of times, more than a couple.
Oh, once or twice a month?
Yeah.
And your vagina hurts?
Yeah, it hurts.
Well, you want her to say that word, because I have a feeling it's going to be a...
Say vagina.
Me?
Yes.
Vagina.
All right, that worked. And
Why did you want her to say it?
He's a big man. Oh.
It's a long story, but yeah. we have a lot of callers called a virgina.
Oh, okay.
We always look forward to that. He's a large man?
Yeah.
How big would you say he is?
Like 7.
7.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we certainly hear more complaints about too big than too small, because if there really is an anatomic disproportion, it's painful.
Mm-hmm.
And then if it
That's for sure.
Yeah, and if it completely does not work, it just does not work.
Yeah. Have you experienced that, Angie?
I have, actually.
Yeah.
Does that now, is that ruin? Is that...
I actually had a guy who was too big. I wouldn't go there.
And that
really?
Ended the relationship. That's it.
It ended right there.
Could not go on.
Really? I mean, the relationship
Adam,
was going...
Adam, by the way, is not very delighted to hear this.
Yes.
You're going to love me so much. I'm going to make up for that guy. I'm going to make it all better. My small penis is going to mop up those tears.
It's true. It can be too big.
It is true, and it is a deal breaker. When that mm-hmm. can't be worked out, it can't be worked out. It's a sad thing, but that happens.
Well, I mean, had you had a few dates with the guy? Were you into the guy? I mean, did you really like him?
Well, obviously, in order to get to that situation.
Well, I didn't put it that way. But I just mean, you know, sometimes you have a couple of drinks, you hook up or whatever, things happen. But this is a guy that you had seen. This is a guy that you had feelings for. This is a guy you thought you had some potential with. No, but what did you tell him?
I told him the truth. I said, no way.
I would have accepted
this
that.
This is not happening.
But that covered that night, but as far as the next date went.
There was no next date.
But did you tell him?
Yeah. I think it was pretty obvious. I just said, no, that's not coming near me.
Wow. I'd have such mixed feelings about
Ryan,
that.
I want to have you doing a touchdown dance.
I'd be like, this really hurts. Hold on. I'm going to need two things. I need some Jergens and a phone because I got to beat off and call my friends simultaneously. I'll get the phone. You go to the bathroom, get the Kleenex and the Jergens. I'll meet you back at the futon and let's say 06:30 and break.
You have to understand that you know, too big is too big.
I know. But
I've never seen you happier, by the way.
Well, I guess...
Too big is too big. He said to me, he's like, don't worry, you'll get used to it. And I was like, no, I won't.
Wow.
I will not get used to it.
Wow. I mean, this must have been absurdly big then, right? I mean, this is not... I mean, you're someone who's done skydiving and is willing to light yourself on fire. You're not scared of a medium-large penis. This thing must have been gargantuan, right?
Big guy.
Wow. That is great. Anyone we know?
I don't think so.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't mind, by the way. But here's the question I need answered, which is, okay, so you nixed that night, and then he must have wanted to continue the relationship. Did you tell him it was because of the penis?
We're still friends.
Oh, and he knows it's because of the penis.
Yeah.
He wants her to tell everyone.
Wow.
I'm the big boy.
Wow, that is amazing.
He must, you know what, he probably has had to deal with that before in the past.
Yeah.
That probably is not the only time he's said. Did he say that?
Sure. Yes.
Yeah.
I really... Is this guy good looking, too?
Mm-hmm.
Oh. Does he have money?
Yes.
I hate this guy. We gotta kill him. We gotta find him and kill him, Drew. We need to either exile him or kill him. We'll send him to Devil's Island.
And
I don't know if that's knocking him down a few notches, saying his dork was so big that... I was unable to accept it.
It's the funniest conversation I've ever had.
No,
that's
please.
Knocking down. If that's abuse, sign me up.
Oh, my God.
All right, so Stacy's got the guy. So Angie's not going to be... Angie doesn't think things are very promising for a young Stacy and her large penis boyfriend. Stacy?
Yes?
But his penis isn't novelty big.
No, it is. I'm a small girl.
It's just too big for her.
Yeah. Right. All right. Well, lubrication, and you got a... Angie's saying no.
No, there's...
It's not working.
No, I don't think so. I think that if you have a little tiny girl who has a very small opening, and you have a big guy who's, excuse me, like seven... She said he's 7 feet tall?
No, seven inches.
Oh, 7 inches.
No. Huh. See, that's not a huge penis.
No, okay.
This guy you're dealing with 18, 19 inches. I mean, that's something else.
Hey, now.
But also, okay, Angie, let me ask this.
I'm not answering any more questions.
All right, but you dodged a bullet with this guy. But the advice I give women, and chime in if I'm wrong about this, is you get some lubrication. I mean, if you're in love with the guy and you insist on it, and you get on top and sort of set the depth, you know, set the pace. Don't let him hop on top of you and kill you with that thing.
Right.
Would you say that's sound advice?
That's a good sound advice, yes.
What the best position you can do is you on top when you're dealing with this kind of problem. True?
Mm. That's a good start.
Through process of elimination, what are you saying? A wheelbarrow or doggy? These are no good.
You need that grommet.
You need the love grommet, the thing he drops around his penis, the donut, the love donut that stops the depth.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I got to bring that back, Stacy.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Okay,
this is a tough problem. You're gonna have to work with this guy.
Okay.
Yeah, sorry,
baby. There's nothing wrong with you.
No,
it's not that you're flawed. It's just that you don't match.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna take a break, and I'm gonna find out from my aunt who this guy is. And then, Drew...
I don't kiss and tell.
You're going to load up a syringe with...
cyanide.
20 cc's of cyanide. We'll just go after this guy.
Mm-hmm.
It'll be painful. Drew's got... we'll get him in the neck. We'll hold him down.
Milliseconds.
And he won't know it. Yeah. He'll be in a better place where everyone has a huge vagina that he can rape. Okay. We'll be back. Body Love Line. I'm Adam. That's Drew. Phone number 1-800. Forget about it. We don't need your calls. Queens of the Stone Age in here tomorrow night. We haven't seen those guys in a long time. Good band. We'll find out what they're up to. And Angie Everhart tonight.
Fair, fair.
All right. Now listen. Caller on line two.
Hello?
You correct me, and I'm just going to guess wrong here.
Okay.
Tara?
Yes, that's right.
Oh.
Whoa.
Good job.
Yeah.
Spelled Tara, but okay.
Oh, well, what, I stopped correcting people.
Yeah, you stopped correcting people. That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow.
My crossing guard actually called me Tyra once. Mm,
you must be a very healthy person.
You must be
I've been called Tyra.
Very secure.
Cindy.
Yeah, all the teachers get my name wrong. Anyway, how you guys doing?
Good.
Good. I had a question about polycystic ovary syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
What exactly is it, and I have it, and I don't really know how to counteract the symptoms.
Well, it's basically a genetic disorder where you start developing multiple ovarian cysts, just like the name implies, and many times are not ovulating. You can also tend to have a syndrome of insulin resistance and a higher risk of diabetes.
Okay.
What's going on?
I have that, and they told me that because I'm a large person.
And that tends to go, being overweight, having a little excess hair production, those all are part of the PCO syndrome.
Yeah, how do I get rid of that?
The weight or the hair? Or?
The weight.
Well, again, just like anyone else would, it's a matter of getting some aerobic exercise going, perhaps meeting with a dietitian.
Kind of like chunky.
And it's also about getting started. I mean, I think the hardest part of a diet is the first week and actually sticking to it. Once you make a conscious choice into losing weight, you will do it.
How much do you weigh?
205.
And to me, the only thing I've noticed besides that, you just get some exercise and
it starts
moving. But you can just start walking and jogging and stuff like that, too.
Yeah,
if you're not in a big rush.
I just splurged and bought a treadmill, so.
Good.
Yeah, well, use it. And here's the
half hour a day minimum.
That whole carb thing, stay away from the carbs.
All right.
That makes a difference.
Definitely.
And I think most dietitians would agree that we're tending to try to stay away from the three meals a day business. That was something back from when we used to work in the fields and have to come in three times a day. Now, you're supposed to eat every couple hours. Very small, balanced.
Really?
You're not in that school?
I don't come from... I was a model, so I have the only... You say issues?
Yeah.
I have those issues of eating a lot.
I know.
I don't eat a lot.
We're gonna work through those.
I really don't. When I diet, I eat salads, tuna salads. And, you know, that's what I do, and I work out.
But could you eat small, frequent amounts? If you eat when you're hungry, you'll tend to eat more and overeat sometimes, as opposed to eating when you're not quite hungry yet. Theoretically, that's the way it works. So, certainly balanced, you know, eating tuna, eating salads, that's all the way to go. Fruit.
I try to eat as healthy as I can, but if I have 5 meals a day, I don't think I would be losing weight.
Because you'd eat too much each time?
Yes. It's too difficult.
Well, whatever you're doing, if you're not vomiting.
No, I'm not vomiting.
It's been working nicely so far.
It doesn't work for me.
So. I have the complaint diet, which is I sit with people and eat, and I talk and complain so much that it's hard for me to get to my food.
Yeah, that's... Is that the diet for you, or is that just your daily ritual?
It's a daily ritual, but it stops me from eating so much.
I see.
I've noticed this. If you ever have a business-type meeting and you're sitting with a bunch of people and you're holding court and everyone orders and you always go to a nice place and I'm sitting there railing on what's wrong with TV and what's wrong with everyone else and why I'm so great and all that kind of stuff, and then an hour goes by and I look down and my food's barely been touched because they've been eating and nodding their head the whole time thinking, when the F are we going to get out of here?
Mm-hmm.
And I've not shut up the entire time.
I've been through a few of those dinners.
I look down and there's nothing there.
It's because you're eating slower.
I left all my food there, and now it's weird because it's time to leave, and what are you going to do, pack it up? You don't want to look like a schmuck in front of all the executives. So you guys need to go out I would suggest all our young listeners go out to meetings with big brass type guys, you know what I mean? CEOs and guys who run networks and stuff, and start pitching.
Yeah, there you go.
Start pitching. Brandon?
Hey, Angie, you're beautiful. Adam, you're a genius. And Drew, you're a passionate man.
True. All true.
Thank you.
Thank you, Brandon.
I've got a slogan for your whole taking the virginity at 18.
All right. I'm prepared to be disappointed.
Let's hear it.
You should be. No. It's ace in the hole at 18.
Oh, that's not bad. Yeah.
The whole golf reference, you see?
Yeah, nicknames, Ace, Angie, and the hole, we got that part, ace at 18, and yeah.
That's pretty good, actually.
You disappointed?
18, wait to break.
Yeah, that's solid.
All right.
I'm going to work on that. Like I said, the windbreakers are going to the silk screeners on Monday, so we still have a few days to hammer out some of the beats, but that's definitely in the running.
Oh, well, that's such a compliment from you, Adam.
Thanks, Brandon.
All right.
Good times.
Later.
Good times, everybody. You have a sister? Or?
Do I have a sister? Yeah, I do, but she's married.
Virgin? Oh, okay. I do what I can.
Remember, there's the reconstruction crew.
Yeah, but married.
But that doesn't count.
I can't. The list is going to get too thick. Huh. You understand? I only have one penis and half an ass to drive it with, Drew.
Oh, Lord.
You ready to go here? Not too big. Not too big, thank you. All right. Let's take a little break. Angie Everhart here. She's fantasizing about my medium-sized penis right now.
Well, now it's medium.
Well, I got to be honest. It's trying to... I don't want her to be disappointed when it's not small enough for her. You know what I mean?
You don't want to inflate her expectations about just how small it is.
Right, yes, right. I'd rather her be surprised and delighted.
Yes, yes.
And delighted on how small your penis is.
Thank you. Yeah. Yeah.
Small penis, you fag.
Oh, please. I can read a woman. I know when a woman's turned on, Drew. That's what that laugh was. We'll take a break. We'll be right back. Coming in here tonight.
It's been fun.
She's a dynamite lady. Dynamite lady. You can see her in the pages of FHM magazine as we speak in the September issue. And look for her to be on fire on a Fox affiliate near you sometime soon. And Angie, we had a good time with you when you did the radio. I should say the TV show. We had a good time with you tonight. Feel free. You're in town. You're a local girl and all that stuff.
To come back and
come back.
Chat.
You got a movie coming out. You're gonna light yourself on fire, jump off a pier. You got a guy whose penis is too big.
I'll come back and tell you how it is.
Whatever it is. Why don't we take that guy with the huge penis and light his penis on fire? It's a Fox special. We'll call it Lincoln Log. All right. So we'll take a little break and about 22 hours worth. Queens of the Stone Age tomorrow night. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying...
Good night, everybody.
Mahalo.
I can't have an orgasm unless something is in my ass.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.